It's 100.3 Philly's R&B. Mina, say what? In your midday, I have a singer, songwriter, performer. He is signed to Roc Nation. He's been on The Voice. Incredible voice, Dixon, joining us today.
What's up, Mina?
Hi.
How are you?
So, funny story about Dixon is I was at the Roots Jam session in LA for the Grammys, and Adam Blackstone, big shout out to Adam Blackstone, who's been on the show, he's family. So, we're watching, and the thing about the Roots Jam session, you know, they feature a whole bunch of different artists. Yeah. So, Dixon came on and was singing Maxwell, and you could literally see everyone in the audience, all the women just, it was a sight to see, and that was my introduction to you. Well, how was that? Talk about just performing and, you know, your relationship with them and how you ended up on that stage.
Adam's my brother. Mm-hmm. I've been rocking with Adam for a long time. And, yeah, he asked me to do the Roots picnic. He did a thing the night before, and it went over pretty well. And he was like, yo, you want to do this Roots jam? I was like, bet. So I just pulled up, and we sang the song, and I'm glad it went over well, you know?
Like, listen, I was like, who is this man?
It was a little nerve-wracking, because I had never done the Roots thing before, and I've always heard, like, it's a big deal. So I was a little nervous, not going to hold you. I never really get nervous, but I was nervous that night because I was like, who's watching? You never know.
I was watching. And now you're here. Look at how God works.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, wait, I think this was the guy with the braids that, you know, that everybody in the audience was like, who is that? Wow. So talk about your journey in singing. Like, how did you get here?
I guess my professional career kind of started in Chicago. I moved to Chicago to work for Chance the Rapper for a while, just to be like an in-house producer, songwriter. And then we kind of took it on the road. And then I got signed to Roc Nation and kind of ventured off and did my own thing and wrote some songs for some people and got some nominations and some wins. And yeah, now we're here.
Okay, that's a modest way to say that you wrote Beyonce's Be Alive, which is a part of the King Richard soundtrack, which was Oscar nominated for Best Original Song. Who just slips that, like, oh, I won some awards and did some things and wrote for some people? You wrote for the Queen Bee.
Yeah, and then we did Renaissance, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So talk about that, because I know that's kind of weird. You probably got the track, and you were like, I have to write this part.
What were your
parts?
I did the track.
I
didn't get the track. I did it. That was like the first time I was like, okay, maybe I'm a little more than a songwriter because I made the music too for that record. And
I thought it was just a writing credit. Yeah, wow. No,
if you look at the credits, I'm the producer and she's a producer too.
I never know what producer means anymore because I don't know if it means like I wrote some stuff or I did the beat.
Producers
normally
do the beat.
The beat. Yeah. Okay.
And the writer handles the other side, and I was very blessed to be able to do both on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Beyonce sings your song.
Yeah.
Now
that's a whole nother experience. She is obviously one of the greatest singers on the planet, but also one of the greatest songwriters and producers too. And so it's not just my work that's on that song, it's her work as well.
Right.
But she interprets it so well and like unlike anybody else. Like when I heard her version of it, I was like, okay, this ain't my song.
So how did she change it? Like, what kind of magic did she put on it?
Her voice changes everything. Mm. I think, too, she was able to craft for us, like, a more deep and personal aspect of the song. She's very much like Serena and Venus, had a father that was very, very active in her life. So the parts of the song that feel most connected to the film, I attribute to her, honestly.
Mm. Yeah. So were you at the Oscars? You had to be at the Oscars.
Right, so
she performed. Performs it.
Yeah.
And how do you feel? Like, do you cry? How do you?
I had never seen her live before the Oscars. Right. So it was.
So it's like a whole bunch of emotions.
It was
like,
overwhelming.
I'm sitting next to Beyonce. I'm meeting her for the first time. Yeah. And she's performing my song on one of the biggest stages. And I'm nominated.
Yeah. It was overwhelming. I had never seen her live. And it was crazy because my girl had seen her live 1,000 times. All my friends had seen her live. I had never seen her live. And the first time I saw her live, she was singing my song. Mm. So it was a God moment, honestly.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
It's unfortunate that the song didn't win. I mean, but this happens with the Oscars. We just saw it with
Rihanna,
Lift Me Up.
Like, come on. I don't want to get kicked. I'm a voting member, so I don't want to get kicked out. But I just don't understand, like, how these songs don't do better at these awards. I mean, I do, but I can't sing.
So I always talk to singer-songwriters, and I always want to know, obviously, you want to write the amazing songs, but you also want to sing them.
Yeah.
Like, how do you differentiate? This is something that I'm going to give to someone, and this is something I want for myself.
Everybody asks me that question. And I think it's a battle that really good songwriters and singers face a lot. For me, for like, I just made a decision like the first 2 or 3 years of doing it professionally. I was like, if somebody bigger than me wants it, then I'll, you know, do that. Right. Just so I can get established, just so I can like be financially secure. And
right.
Those things. Nowadays, I'm starting to take songs back and do them for myself because I get to do things like this.
Right.
I get to promote my music and I have a label that I love and they're dependent on me to like be successful. And I'm like, I can't give all these good songs away.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Lately, I've been taking songs back.
So how do you have that conversation?
I never have that conversation with Beyonce.
Okay.
She keeps everything I give her. And if it's for Rihanna, you keep whatever I give you. But sometimes, you know, I'll write a song from a deeply personal space and another artist will hear it. And the good thing about a good songwriter is that they're usually great at empathy.
Mm.
So other artists feel it and they like, oh my God, that's my story too. And they get so attached to it. But some of these songs are really about my life and about my personal experiences. So I've been having to take those back.
Lately. So what song are you most proud of at this point in your career?
In my career? Yeah, I think Be Alive is pretty far up
on
the list.
Yeah, I would say that. But I don't know. You know, something might be personal to you where it trumps that moment, you know?
There's a record that I wrote when I first got signed. It was right after my father passed away, and it's called Big Brave Man.
I read about that.
Yeah, I'm still so proud of that record. The way we recorded it is so special. We recorded it all to tape. My father was a recording artist way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And everything he did, he had done the tape, and he used to tell me about, like, how tedious that process is and how you can't really put auto-tune on tape.
So you're talking about a big reel, like a tape deck, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, we recorded every element.
So he made you learn that? That's amazing.
Yeah, he taught me about the process. And so when I was in this studio in Chicago and I saw that they had a reel and I was like, yo, is this functioning? He's like, yeah, we just got it fixed. And I was like, I want to do this whole song to tape. So every element, pianos, vocals, guitars, everything is to reel. And yeah, it's like one of the most special recordings I've ever done. And
so
if you have Tidal, it really sounds crazy.
Yeah. So you play 11 instruments?
Yeah, I play a lot of
how?
Instruments.
How? I don't even think I could name 11 instruments.
I was just a...
what?
I was a product of my environment.
Name all the instruments
God.
Come on.
Everybody does this to me. I do it in every interview. It's like my party trick now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, my father allowed me, and my mother too. My mother plays a few instruments too. They allowed me to just explore. Like when I had an interest in something, they were like, all right, how interested in it are you? And so if it was like kind of mild, they would like go to the pawn shop and get me an instrument. If it was real and they saw potential, they like get me the expensive thing or whatever. Or they'd save their money to get me the expensive thing. So shout out to my parents for just feeding my like desire to learn. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're signed to Roc Nation. Have you ever met Jay-Z?
Yeah.
What was that like?
The first time I met Jay, I think it was here in Philly. That's crazy.
First time
I met Jay, it was here in Philly. I was singing background for Vic Mensa at Made in America.
What?
And Jay had just announced 444, and Vic had just been announced as the opener, and it was the first time I met Jay. And it's funny, there's a video that was on Revolt, and me and my girl were standing in front of J and B, and the people at Revolt said that me and my girl were J and B. And it was like
terrible.
The first time I ever went viral for no reason at all. Like I wasn't singing, I was just
standing
there.
Next to
and we were standing
legends.
In front of them. So like we were kind of covering them, but that was the first time I'd ever met Jay. And obviously anybody who's ever met him has the same story. He's the kindest. I mean, you know, he's Jay, so it's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a beautiful experience meeting him the first time. And then I sat next to him and be at the Oscars.
Have you ever had an in-depth conversation? Because you have all those memes that go around. Like, would you rather take this money or have an in-depth conversation with Jay?
I haven't really had an in-depth conversation with Jay. I will say the first time I played Be Alive for B, Jay was there.
Mm.
And I had two options for her because I was like, you got to be prepared for these types of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I had another song that I was going to play. And Jay said, basically, when you start with something like that, meaning Be Alive, you don't play the next song. You just kind of rock with the first
right.
one. And that was the first time I was like, man, go with your gut. Like that, it locked for me to go with your gut. And I'm glad it worked out.
Man, yeah. You have so many. I can just pick your brain every day.
Oh, yeah,
and you're
even
performing
with stories.
Jill Scott.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we're opening tonight
like,
for Jill.
Talk of, because she here.
First
everywhere
off,
she's our queen.
Everywhere. What are you saying?
Like, right, everywhere.
I mean, that the A26 Experience album for me was the first time I ever heard live music and was like, yo, I got to go work on my show.
Mm.
Like, I got to make sure my show is tight. And I tell people all the time, like, I'm a great songwriter,
yeah.
I'm a great producer, I'm a great singer, but the best part of my whole brand is my show. And so I'm glad to be doing it. You know, we're kicking it off here in Philly. Tonight with Adam Blackstone.
Look, you got to see it because the way you hit that Maxwell note, mm-hmm. I don't think we will be the same. I was like, yeah. Is that Maxwell?
It's gonna be some good stuff tonight. I'm excited, and then Adam obviously is a legend and has so much connectivity to this city. So
yeah.
I'm just honored to be a part, you know?
Talk about your music, because we're talking about everybody else
and
your music. Tell us about you, your music, your album.
Yeah, so I just dropped a project at Rock called 04 Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so far, my favorite body of work that I've made, but also it's, like, the most successful body of work that I've made. So I'm just honored that people are listening to it and vibing with it. My first time having a song at radio was for a record named Cream. And we went top 20, like, I think what, we were 11 or 10 or something?
Yeah.
Oh, 12, yeah. So
okay, D, the weatherman
with
the facts.
He knows.
Facts.
That's why I
He's
looked over.
12.
I was like, what number was it?
Get it right.
But yeah, no, the first time I ever had a song at radio, it went top 20. And I really made that song with radio in mind. I remember my manager being so mad at me. He was like, bro, we have to turn this single in. And I was like, no, the tempo has to be right. You have to understand. And he should know. My manager came from radio too. But it's like, your song matters when it's next to something too.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever they're gonna play in that rotation, like you need to make sure that wherever you land, it's gonna hit every time. And so a lot of that has to do with tempo. And so I wanted to make sure that the tempo for Cream was right. So we like battled between like three different tempos and then we finally selected the one. And when we broke top 20, I called my manager, I was like, see what I'm saying? Like,
that's
it's
interesting
important.
You say that yeah. because people literally now there's a term like the radio song, but then yeah. you have the song that connects to you as a singer, a songwriter, yeah. and there's a clear difference, yeah. right? Is that frustrating that you have to actually, let's make the radio record because of how, you know, radio is right now?
No, it's not frustrating at all. Like, you want a hit. I mean,
but you have to change your song, right?
I mean, you don't have to change your song. You just have to make something that connects in a more global way.
Mm.
Like, I mean, Cream, we never thought Cream would be on the radio. Why? Because of the content. But I realized I didn't curse in the whole record.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, we can definitely get that played at radio. If they cool. I mean, I listen to what's on the radio. I listen to the radio. My song ain't as bad as, you know, some of the other content that's out there. And not saying that I love these songs, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't go that far with it. And, you know, I think about radio a lot when I'm working.
Yeah.
Because it's the platform for me that has done the best.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, what's the radio hit? Like, where are we going? Like,
right.
Cherry Sorbet, the first day we played Cherry Sorbet, we had another single in mind, and I played it for my manager. He's like, yeah, we got to change course.
Because,
you know, even the team, Big D, everybody was like, we got to change course because this is a radio song.
Right.
I was like, cool.
Right.
Who don't want to be on the radio? I don't.
Well, I think some artists feel frustrated with the whole, I got to create the radio song, you know?
You just got to create the song that's real to you.
There it is.
Because if it's real to you, it's going to feel real to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the goal. Every time we walk in the studio, we're not chasing a hit. I know a hit when I hear one.
Yeah.
Because I'm experienced and I've been around hit makers, but like, I'm still making the songs that's real to me. Like, Cherry Sorbet was very real to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was about uplifting women. Like, that's what Cream was about. That's
mm-hmm.
what, you know what I'm saying? So it was always that. And because it was true for me, it becomes true for other people.
All right. Well, you're going to be more than 12, okay,
oh,
at
nah,
some
we,
point.
We coming for the number one
All
spot.
Right.
I'm telling you.
You're going to get there.
Yeah.
We could talk to you forever. This man's been on The Voice. You've been mentored by Pharrell. I mean, there's so much. But what one lasting thing you want to leave people with?
Be true to yourself.
Mm.
Be true to yourself. In these times, like, we see a lot of capping. I'm just saying, don't cap.
Period. Says Dixon.
Yeah.
It's me to say what in your midday here on 100.3 Philly's R&B.